Well, that didn't work so well. It's the wrong one. Welcome, everybody.
MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors. Draco Impact Armor. Clench Custom Mouth Guards. Cast Iron Supplements. Brawl Base. Pro-Am Belts. Game Changer Clothing. Never Tap. Hype Fight Store. Intimidation Clothing. Ink Tank Tattoo. 24 in LV. Crossroader Clothing. Central Oregon Trike. Triumph Fitness. Vision Smoke Shop. Tank Crimes. Big T's Nightclub. And ACS Live TV.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Madhouse Live. If I can find out, here we go. I want to bring my partner in like we normally do.
Selection.
Check out this selection right here.
Wait, where you from?
Okay. He's critically acclaimed, lyrically acclaimed, self-proclaimed. Nobody calls you nothing except for your mother, and she burnt your monkey ass.
What's up, Mo Flo?
Dude,
let's just get out of the way, man. A big shout out to Babalu for a great career. I hope you hang it up. It's time, bro. Just get that out of the way.
If you're tuning in right now, Babalu just got beat. TKO third round. For all you fans out there, looks like, I guess what, King Mo's finished the night, him and Seth Petrelli. Or is this still one fight? Okay.
Well, there's four more fights because there's that fight, and then there's still three fights from the undercard that they didn't get to before the TV time started that they still have to have three of the prelim fights. This is just something stupid. This is what I don't understand about Bellator, and this is what always holds them back. How are you going to have three dark fights that nobody gets to watch?
We talk about this all the time, you know, when it comes to fans getting to an event. And, hey, before we get into that, big shout-out to one of our newest, greatest sponsors, Jax Media, folks. Go out there and check them out. Whether you want a T-shirt done or you need your whole company, you know, hooked up to the internet age with websites and everything else, hit them up. But we talk about this all the time, about fans should get to events early for the fact that you never know what kind of fights are going to be the first, second, third fight. We see companies that we'll put a title fight on to open the card. You know, we see television guys who set up specific fights for television. That's something I don't understand is why a company with like Bellator, who owns the channel they're on, cannot clear a bigger block to put all the fights that should be on there, which is the whole card.
That's the truth right there. Why are they even messing around with an online stream? You just stack your channel, Spike TV, with the whole fight card, man. There was 13 fights tonight. Can you imagine 13 fights on a Wednesday, Skippy? I'd have a hard time at work, bro.
Yeah. Look, we're blessed when we get to see some of the Asian companies and some of the European MMA companies put an event on our Wednesday night, which is rarely anymore. But, you know, we dig that. And with Bellator now, you know, trying to dominate Wednesday nights, you know, it's hard for them to do that if they're going to try to compete with MMA Madhouse Live. But, you know, they might be able to be a little successful. And one of the things that would help them is to put their whole card on there. I don't understand that. You guys, who cares about Repo Portland or whatever Repo shows on right before it or whatever caught on camera crap? Put on the whole fight card. Don't make me go to Yahoo Sports to watch it.
Yeah, like, come on, man, that's ridiculous. And then if you're not going to go back to the stream, at least go back to the stream for the other fights. That's where I was going to watch them earlier. Why can't you run them on your website after the main card? If you're just, you know, I mean, at least let these guys, you know, I mean, Jesus, man, I hope that doesn't cost anybody sponsors, like, because they go from, hey, I'm going to be on the internet to now, oh, I'm not going to be on the internet. You know, like people, like that's how a lot of sponsors base like what they do for you, based on the amount of coverage you're gonna get. And now if these guys are fighting in a dark match where nobody's gonna see it, what if their sponsors come back and are like, "Look, bro, nobody saw my shit."
You know,
I hope it doesn't cost anybody any money. That would be really fucked up.
I totally agree. And speaking of Bellator, folks, tonight we got a great, great lineup, man. We're going to start tonight off with Eric Brindle, Bellator vet, off of very nasty victorious win down in Mexico this past weekend. We're going to talk to him about that, a few other things, what's in store for him in the future. We're also going to kick back for a little bit, catch up with one of our favorites of the show, JT Dilley from Show Fights. He's going to give us a little preview of what's going on for the summer series and bullshit with him a little bit. And then we're going to wrap up the night with Mike 300 Hayes, folks. He is going into the trilogy against DJ the Protege Linderman at War MMA this coming weekend. We're going to sit down and talk to him about that. But let's get Pringle on the line right away. I'm going to just call him live. How's that?
Oh, yeah, I figured you would.
Let's do it. Let's see what happens.
I've reached a number that does not accept solicitations. If you are a solicitor, please add this number to your do not call list and hang up now. Otherwise, please press 1 or stay on the line.
I'm going to stay on the line.
I mean, I'm not really soliciting anything.
Thank you. Please hold.
Thank you. You're welcome. Did you record that?
I should.
We need to tell him we're going to have to call him back just so we can record that somehow.
Dude, I would love to make that my voice now.
No, I would just love to be able to call people and play that to them. Like when they answer, just have that voice start talking.
That would be cool. You know, I used to have a lot of fun with voice, though.
Who has the idea to, oh, there's Bubble laying his gloves down in the middle of the cage.
Oh, is he?
Giving this holy cross. Everybody's standing up. Hold on, I gotta figure this out, bro. This will kind of make me sad if he retires right now.
Well, I don't think he's answering. I want to know how I get that on my phone.
Please enter your remote access code.
Oh, dude, this could get us in trouble. Let's just stop now. I get so just... What's that Joe Rogan commercial? You muted yourself, buddy.
Oh, yeah. 7631. That's the access code. For anybody wondering.
What was that? That Joe Rogan skit where he's like, dude, just keep trying. Sooner or later, you'll get it right. And then that's when the fun begins.
Dude, that would be awesome. Man, I can't believe that. Bobblu just retired. But that's what should happen. I mean, dude, I'm not saying anything negative when I say Bobblu should be retired. I mean, it's sad, man. Ever since Chuck head-kicked Bobaloo and knocked him into fucking Narnia, he just hasn't been the same, man. It's a sad situation that Bobaloo, that happened to him, but, I mean.
But, you know, look, we grew up with the old guard, let's be honest. We grew up with a group of fighters that are a little different than today's fighters. Not only in the way they carry themselves, but in the way they work in the cage. Okay, it's a different beast today. And the old guard is trying to grab that little bit of glory that's left with a paycheck, you know, while they still can. Because in another 5 years, let's be honest, I mean, guys like Vitor, guys in that class, you know, obviously you're talking about Bobaloo, you know, retiring. Guys in that era, they're going to be done. I mean, it's just, I mean, people don't want to hear this. But in 10 years, GSP ain't going to be around. You know, you're not going to have Anderson Silva still the king of the cage, so dominant in another 10 years. It's not going to happen. You know, these guys are going to have to hit the end of their rope sooner or later. It's just that way. I mean, how many guys, look at Jens Pulver. I mean, he's another old guard guy. His time is just Phil Baroni. These guys keep
fighting. Phil Baroni, yeah, now we're talking, dude.
You know, if Phil Baroni still brings it, he's still a great, exciting fighter. It's sad because some of these guys are so ingrained and so passionate and so they live for this sport that they can't walk away when it's the right time. And that's the big question. When is the right time? Is it after a loss like tonight? Or... You know, do you try to take one more regional fight back in your home country?
I don't know, man. I think, he can't go back and take any more fights. Dude, he got knocked out pretty vicious his last fight. He was getting beat this time. I mean, it was, the fight could have kept going, but I mean, ultimately in the long run, it was, I mean, dude, when you're like dragging your arm across the cage from one side to the other, it's over. So, I mean, I don't have a problem with the stoppage. And it's just, man, ever since Chuck introduced Bobby to the head kick, bro, Skippy just dipped out, everybody. I'm, like, sitting here having a conversation with him, and he's gone, though. Hopefully he's talking to Eric Prindle, which I have a feeling is what's going down. So you guys should enjoy the upcoming segment. I don't know what he's doing, to be quite honest. But right now we got Seth Petruzzelli and King Mo about to lock it up in the Bellator cage. If you can get your television to Spike TV, I would suggest turning it on. Eric Prindle, who is going to be joining us here momentarily. Just fought in Mexico last weekend, which has got to be kind of crazy going down there, considering that, like, just a couple weeks ago, two MMA promoters were kidnapped in Mexico.
Okay, sorry about that.
Yo, hey.
I thought we had him, but we didn't.
Oh, you gave me,
somebody else.
You gave me the look like
it
we
was
did.
Just a, it was one of those crazy fans who wants me to... He said he wanted me to sign one of my dirty shirts and send it to him, and I was like, no, I can't do that.
No,
I don't
dude,
know
nobody's
who
calling you for that.
Okay.
Nobody's calling you for that.
Okay. He just called to be like, dude, you suck, Skip.
It was probably like somebody we know.
It was. His people were asking us. But,
yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm just going to tell everybody right now, don't be surprised if Seth Petruzzelli knocks out King Mo right now.
Would you like to place some money on that? Because I will say he will do it in the second round.
I don't think this fight lasts 5 minutes.
Oh, you think it's first round? You think King Mo tries the old school traditional English boxing from the hip again?
I hope he's learned his lesson.
Because you know
he
should have
learned his lesson when he won that first fight in Bellator like that. I mean, Petruzzelli's not anybody to jack around with, dude. I know, you know, a lot of people aren't familiar with him, but dude's got some sick kickboxing.
He, hands down, he does. I agree. There's a reason why he was on K1 LA.
Yeah.
And he had a great
And with
fight
Mo just
finish.
Training the boxing, Mo's got him down. We got a timeout. I don't know what's going on here.
A timeout? How do you
I don't
get
really know what's going on.
Fight.
He's trying to say Mo poked him in the eye.
I think
Mo just
that.
Busted him upside the dome with a right hand. That's what I thought.
Right hand with an eye poke?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I've got it muted.
Deuce, don't forget some
Hold
oil,
on.
Man.
The back of his shoe, they're calling it a headbutt, but it was a horrible call, man. The back, like, Mo hit his shoulder. He hit Mo's shoulder, then the back of Mo's head and, like, the side of his head tapped. Wasn't no headbutt, no reason to stop the fight. Come on, man. The guy, Jesus. So, what are you looking
Jeff
forward
Munson.
To this coming weekend, Skippy?
Jeff Munson, man. He is fighting that tomorrow against Alexei Oleinik. And then, honestly, I'm curious to watch the Battle of Moscow card again. You know, after seeing Terrence go over there for, what was it, number 9 the first time, I really liked what they did in the way of production. They had good fights. You know, I'm a ring guy anyway, so they do it in the ring. So I'm looking forward to that card. But, folks, if you don't know about it, learn it now, because Asian MMA will be kicking down your door all weekend long.
Word up, bro. I'm looking so much forward to Road FC. Nobody even knows. Heat.
Yes. Yes, that's
I mean,
going to be a
heat,
really
dude,
good card.
Korea versus Japan, dude. Do you know? Oh, it looks like it's over. I looked away. King Mo looks like he knocked him out.
Oh, God, I can already see Chris Gregory. I told you, fools. I train with them every day. Do you think King
Wow,
Roman
that's
the
his
first...
still down. Wow, he must have fucked this guy up. Hold on, I got to check this replay out. Let's get to the replay, bozo. I'm going on mute. Talk for a
Okay. I'm curious if King Mo is going to end up the first person ever with in Bellator with the WW or Nitro. What is it? ECW, whatever that rest. TNA. I should have known that. I wonder if he's going to have a TNA title and an MMA title. And at what point does he have to fight Rampage? You know, that fight's got to happen, folks. There's a good chance that it will. Tomorrow, folks, at a noon Eastern time.
That was nasty, dude. He just did like a Toro pass on him and just dropped a big right hand, dude. Like threw his legs to the side and then just came with a right hand down the pipe and Petrozelli went stiff. He's 2x4'd in, bro. Damn.
There's going to be a GIF. Hey, Zombie Prof, get a GIF up, please, quickly.
Oh, you already know that guy. He's a beast.
Hey,
Zombie
so
Prof, there's
knows.
Nobody as good as that guy.
Oh, yeah, tomorrow, if you guys want to catch Battle of Moscow or the MMA Rules Team Tournament, Monkey's team versus Olenek's team, you guys go to Rear Naked Smoke, man. They're good friends of ours. You can find our quick link on there anytime you want to check out MMAMadhouse.com. But go down there. They got it set up, man. It's going to be cool. Yeah. Good. It's a two-day event.
Yeah, I had to meet that. I forgot what was going on there.
Oh, dude, RFA's this weekend. Free, folks, Saturday night, 8 p.m. to Eastern Standard Time. War MMA 1. We'll be talking about that a little later tonight with Mike 300 Hayes. I believe they're headlining the card in this trilogy, so it's a good card. Follow the show. Hamilton's on it. Another great fighter you folks should know.
Hayes and DJ, I think, are right up there near the top.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, either Ricky Boomer, either him or his teammates on that card. I saw a post late last night, but I didn't. I was a little inebriated.
No way.
Yes way. Come on, Zombie, where are you?
You were, bro?
Just a tad bit. Everybody's posted, oh, shit, ouch, man, he got knocked out. There's somebody else. Yeah, that's great.
Dude, it was nasty, bro.
Mazagani.
Daniel Roberts is the main event.
Okay.
Daniel Ninja Roberts. Caleb Mitchell, Evan Esquera. Oh, Chris Quick's on this card.
I like the fact that, you know, we're going to see him go a different route with his career as a promoter. I think win or lose, he could be very successful at it.
Oh, wow, dude. Benny Vincent was supposed to be on this card against Antonio Benuelos.
From Sport Lab?
Yeah.
Oh, no shit. Is he now?
I don't know why. I don't understand why Cage Sport hasn't brought him back. There's like a list of guys. Like, I could make a whole Cage Sport card with guys that they should have brought back, but they haven't.
Well,
Austin Springer should be fighting there again. Emmanuel Sanchez should have got called back. Benny Vincent should have fought again. These are all guys that had really impressive fights. Brandon Dudley should be fighting there again, hopefully. I mean, I'm not saying they didn't build a good card, but those are some guys that can really take a card over the top.
I'm like, dude, like, oh, man, there's so much MMA, dude. I'm looking at links every month. I'm so, so happy for this weekend. You know, obviously, CFFC should be going down this weekend. Predator FC champion versus champion. We've also got Bruce Richards stepping in the cage at Extreme Combat Promotions Pain in the Neck up in Vermont. Let's see, who else we got this weekend? These are all streams, folks. You guys see, oh, Rage in the Cage 166, man. There is a group of titles up. Hey, and if anybody, June 28th, man, you guys want to catch a great boxing event, dude, Foxwood Resort Casino in Connecticut is going to have a great, great lineup of a card. I think it's 13 boxing matches. Completely free, folks, on GFL TV.
Dude, I That's think people need to be start watching watching some Muay Thai fights over there on GFL.
Takeon's coming up on the 28th, bro. Takeon, I think it's 11. Man, Takeon Muay Thai, folks. You guys want to see
Dude, that's a
great,
great one. That's one of my favorite ones. I like them and Lion. Lion Fight.
Lion Fight. Dude, Lion Fight, you know, they did so successful with their streams that they were able to sign a deal with Access TV. And my girl, Tiffany Van, so...
I like how they're all your girl. How come you try to claim all the ladies that kickbox? Let's see, Tiffany Van Suess. where the hell is Jeff when I need him? You're lucky I'm having a moment right now. I can't think.
I do. I got
the koala from down under. If Jeff is on the line, if you have Jeff on mute right now and aren't letting him talk, I'm calling bullshit.
He's not on mute this time. He's not even online. I haven't heard from him yet. I did tag him up to tell him we were on, but yeah, dude, Takeon champ at 175. He's putting up his strap, man. So it's gonna be a good fight.
Oh, dude, I'm about to shoot myself in the foot for not remembering this chick's name. This is really.
Are you talking about my koala bear, Tracy?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Tracy Lockwood.
Tracy Lockwood, man. God dang.
She is an official clinched Army member and trains down there with Ben Stark, Ray Elby, and Roger Huerta. And she is rocking it with a 29-7 professional Muay Thai record sponsored by Tiger Muay Thai. Yeah. You know she's a beast. The best gym in the world. And by the way, I love her new haircut. That is sexy. The whole side shave and the long bangs, that's like 80.
Dude, I can't get... I'm not sure what the fuck broads are thinking. Why are you guys trying... If you're going to shave your head, at least put some lightning bolts in that shit.
Dude, like, well, she only shaved like a third.
Yeah, I know, but... So why are you only shaving, like, right to your ear off? What is that, like, what is the symbol in this haircut? This is what I'm not understanding. Like, I see a lot of women out there today where they're like, all of a sudden you're like, wow, man, this chick's hot. And then she turns around and she's got a mullet going on.
She's like that shit Aaron Hall posted the other day.
Yeah. Aaron Hall, that was a great post. That was a very buxom pair of mullets you posted there, my friend. Did you see the post from Olivia von Plattenberg this week about what she said about
not going to war?
How people refer to fighting in war and how she didn't think that was a good comparison.
Yeah, I did. I read it. And it's funny because I say it all the time. I'm like, war, you know. And to me, it's just, you know, going there and battle, you know. But I think battle sounds stupid. So I say war. By the way, did you see Alin Hunis drop that super combat title on the bottom this morning?
No.
Yeah, he went out to the beach, man. Stuck the belt in the sand. Took a photo and put it up.
Oh, somebody's trying to beat me? Oh, dude, don't make me go on another tear, bro. Don't make me go on another tear, man. I was, like, rocking the title belt post last night, dude.
The ISKA World Muay Thai title, the one, that was beautiful, man. I'm not going to lie. That was a beautiful belt, man, straight up. I got to say, folks, anybody out there, you know, you can always tweet us. You can always call in. You can always Facebook us, MMAMadhouse.com, MMAMadhouse anywhere. Just you'll find it. It's easy. But we were talking about who has the best belt for a championship, and Mitch Stark jumped in with wrestling first, and you talked about, I agree, bringing up the NWA World Championship, classiest, nicest, sickest belt ever made in wrestling. And that has to go up in there in the top three best championship belts in any sport. It definitely does. I do got to say that you brought up a great point that the old school boxing with the frayed ribbons was some of the most classic, beautiful belts ever made. It really were.
I got to turn my TV off. I can't let somebody get ratings for some cheap ass knockoff Ultimate Fighter show.
It's funny because the only thing I think I really am interested about that is how the fighters get to pick their own fight. And that's the only thing I really want to see about it. But
unless they're picking Filipino knife fights, bro, we're not interested.
That's right.
I would just really like to say that, you know, it's bullshit that the sanctioning body we talked to yesterday would not sanction Filipino knife fighting. I hope that they're listening tonight and they understand that that would have really been a moneymaker.
Yes, it would have. I guarantee you we could have sold out the arena. Anybody out there?
Sure. Dude, could you imagine how many people would want to go to a Filipino knife fight?
Oh, yeah. Dude, why can I not do anything on Facebook today?
I'm telling you, bro, that I've been having some serious problems on Facebook lately. Like, I get told, like, I can't post stuff on my own wall sometimes.
Yeah, dude, no, straight up, man. Like, this is telling me I can't even share stuff on my own wall. Hold on a second.
Yeah, that's what
you're
I keep doing.
You're live on
Kiss
97 FM. You're the 100th caller to win a free Clinch Custom mouth guard. What's the answer?
Kevin.
Wrong. We'll take the next caller.
Nope.
What's up, Taylor?
How you doing?
We're doing great, man.
We're doing good.
Good. I just called to hear your pretty voices.
Well,
we had a question. I was wanting to have you have my back on something here a minute ago, but I've currently forgot what the hell I needed you on the line for.
Okay, wait.
Because I even told Skippy, like, I made a point to tell Skippy that if he was holding you on mute and you couldn't back up what I was trying to say, that was bullshit.
Yeah, he's in here.
Shut up! Don't even start that shit.
No, I just called.
Hey, did you hear Eric Prindle when we called his phone?
No.
Dude, you gotta go back.
We need to call him and then record it.
I know, but I gotta figure out how to do it.
Wasn't there a record button on that thing?
No, it was not. But he has the greatest listener block ever, man. I want it.
Record it on your phone using your voice recorder as you play it on the stereo speakers in the studio. What do you mean, what? So, Jeff.
Yes.
What do you think about how Skippy always claims all the Thai fighting women as his?
Aren't they? I thought they were.
He always goes, my girls, and he's always refers to, you always know that what's coming after that is these Thai fighters.
Is he talking koalas or what?
Yeah, koalas and Tiffany Van Soos down in San Diego. And I had a trouble thinking of Tracy's name, and that's one thing I needed your help with.
Hold on, I'm busy swerving with Brenda's control. Okay, now I'm good. What was your question?
Well, I needed you to help me think of the one chick's name from New Zealand, but I finally figured it out. And you were nowhere to be found. Where are you headed to tonight? Who's Gracie Baja?
Gracie Baja. Well, I think Alpha, the hell's it called? Alpha Male. And Will Davis is the gym. He's been open just a few months. Do you remember him, right? You guys interviewed him? He was the best
Is it an actual Alpha Male affiliate?
No, it's an Alpha Dog. Alpha Dog, not Alpha Male. Yeah, Alpha. Come on, you man. Sorry, driving.
Did you eat too many apples today?
No, none. That's the problem. That's the problem.
Apple a day keeps the stress away.
Just one apple?
I think Jeff needs like three or four.
I think you're right. Three or four. Probably kind of like being on a diet, those good diets where you eat 5 times a day. That's the kind I should be on. Probably 5 times a day.
Oh, no, yeah, for sure, man.
Makes for a better society.
Dude, hey, you know, you guys, if we're going to add women to my group, I'd like to also claim Julie Kitchens real quick because she did come from Thai. You know, she's
get
a badass Thai.
Get the fuck out of here,
though. I'm
going
to grab her as well into my group, okay?
But Brock gets all the broads, though. If there's any broads, let's go to Apache to get the broads. You get the women.
Well, you know, I mean, like, there's Emily Barrett and Linnea Ovencheski, or however you say that Russian girl's
Lena
name.
Lena Ovencheski-Nikova?
Yes.
You can have her, bro.
No, he don't care about
like
her name.
She Angelina Jolie.
She's sure. She can't even say her damn name.
I'm trying to be fair and help you out. Give you a couple.
What a guy.
How many titles do you think Julie won in her career? You think more than 10? She had to have won Kitchens. She had to have won close to 10 titles, I bet.
I can't believe people are actually going to tune in and watch a knockoff of The Ultimate Fighter.
Why? The Bellator show?
Yeah.
Hell, the whole fucking planet tunes in. It's going to be a good show.
You think?
Yeah. Why not? It's going to be different, and I'm going to be on it.
What do you mean you're going to be on it? Do you make an appearance?
My product will be on it, and it won't be hard to find. So.
Or do you have logos there, or just in somebody's mouth?
I can't talk about it. NDA.
It's total top secret.
Yeah.
Man. When it's secret from us, you know it's secret.
Yeah, when you see it, you'll be like, oh, I'm glad you didn't say anything. Should have fucked that up. So.
Dude,
she's
cool, though.
Dude,
hey,
I think it's a
good
cool
show. You've
got to have at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You just know, man. I'm not real sold on Bellator, bro. I just don't like the way they treat their fighters at times.
You like the way that any treat their fighters? Really? I mean, they're all making mistakes in that department, it seems to be. But, yeah, I hear you. They keep making the most mistakes. They hear shit. When you steal your top guys when they're still with you and stuff, that's just bizarre to me. Others he just lets sit by and rot when they could be fighting. And Carl. Come on. Get that guy in the cage. Get that guy back in the cage.
Okay, hey, Labaki, I found a thing on her, an article on her. In 2010, on Julie. On 2010, when she won her IKA Pro World title, that was her 15th title that she'd won as a pro in Muay Thai and amateur, and she was only 24.
Are you talking about Julie Kitchen?
Yes.
Oh. For some reason, I thought you were talking about Julie Kedzie.
No. whoa. Dude, she's got a total of 25 titles listed under her fight record, 47-10. Oh, my God. Look at all these titles. What a beast. Man, yeah, I want to fight her. Just so I can say I got beat up by her. Okay, let me check this out. Hey, JT.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. How you guys doing?
We're doing really good.
And, we're kind of just chilling because our last guest was a no-show. I'm glad you made it. Everybody, this is JT Dilley from Show Fights, the number one MMA organization in the Midwest. If you guys don't know about it, you're living under a rock. He's come to kick back with us for a little bit, man. We're going to just bullshit with him. You're on with Labaki and me tonight. Jeff's floating around here as well from Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. We were just actually
hey, what's up, man?
How you doing?
And normally I'm listening, but we're at the gym tonight, and I was just up until about 2 minutes ago. We've been putting some work in. I have no idea what you're talking about, but I bet there's been a lot of dead air and a lot of curse words.
Yeah.
Point made. There it is. More dead air. That's great. Must be Labaki tonight.
Oh, man.
Man, well, don't fire back so quickly, Labaki.
Can you sing good?
I won't.
Can I sing to you, you son of a bitch? No. No.
Come on. Doo-wop, doo-wop, doo-wop.
No, man.
So,
that's my day job.
You know, for everybody out there, you know, you run a great organization. It's something that we really enjoy being part of and watching. I know you're a little I know you're a little far off from the summer series, but how's that all coming together for you this soon?
Oh man, we're good to go. We plan our shows a good 6-8 weeks in advance. We've got 18 fights booked, confirmed. We're real serious about our MMA here. You know, there aren't that many fans in our part of the country, but we're starting to get a lot more fans through our pay-per-views. And it's amazing how many fans on the coast know about these Midwestern amateurs about to go pro. So we're good to go, man. Matter of fact, I just sent Skippy some real kick-ass fight announcements, and I thought that'd be a good idea to announce some of the fights because I just booked some really killer fights this last 2 weeks, man, and I'm real proud of it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We were actually talking earlier today about the Katie Collins, and she's got a really great matchup.
Yeah, I actually just choked the shit out of her, man. She's here now. She's in the sauna with some of her teammates, man. But she's really going to go through another 4-week intense training camp for this fight because this girl she's fighting is a friend of all of ours, and she's a bad, bad chick. Alex Stove, she's fought just as many tough opponents as Katie. I believe she fought Courtney Stowe when Courtney was ranked 2 in the world. She fought her at 45. I've seen her fight Andrea Pitbull Whitney. Matter of fact, there's a great video on YouTube of Andrea Whitney versus Alex Stove. It was last summer at our summer series, and Alex almost upset her and took the belt. It was the bloodiest fight we've ever had at Show Fight. You should check it out. It's Pitbull versus Alex Stove, and it's on YouTube. But, yeah, she's coming in town to fight Katie. They're exactly the same height, exactly the same weight. They both fought equally tough opponents, super nice chicks, and they both need to win. So I'm looking forward to that. We really, really are proud with what we've got going on with Katie right now. She just recently joined my personal team here in Branson, and her improvement has just been ridiculous. And so we're kind of excited to see how she stacks up with Alex.
And then you have another great female match that you sent me that we also were talking about before the show tonight. And how did that come about?
Well, It's kind of a strange story. Courtney Stowe's been our featherweight champion since 2010, and she joined the military about a year ago, and she vacated her belt. And we just hadn't had many 45s in the female division, and so we just never really put the belt back up. It just kind of laid there vacant. And here recently, I'm sure you're familiar with Brittany Dugas. Brittany Dugas is a powerhouse in the Midwest. She's 135, 145. She's even fought at 25 recently. And she's gone 6-0. She fought in our organization. And, we made, just like all of the fighters, we made friendships with her, and we're really trying to support her. She has destroyed all the time. Everywhere she's gone, she's undefeated. I think she's got 3 or 4 titles now. And I've been trying to get her to fight for our organization's title for probably about 6 months. And it just keeps falling apart for one reason or another. And she had some issues with the Kentucky State Athletic Commission, and it was just unreasonable, the things we had to go through for her to be able to fight. and I don't want to discuss it too much, but I just want to say that it was just really unreasonable, and I felt bad for her that she had to deal with it. But we finally got her booked to fight Courtney Stowe. Courtney decided not to join the military. I'm not sure what the circumstances were, but she wanted to come back, and she was easily the number one contender. And then, of course, Brittany was ready to fight her, and I was so excited. I just couldn't even see straight. And then she just hit me up about a week ago and said, you know, I'm going to go ahead and go pro. My management decided that, you know, I don't want to fight Courtney at this stage in my amateur career. I'm just going to go ahead and go pro and start getting paid. And I was totally bummed, but at the same time, you know, that's what she's here to do. So I supported her, and we found a replacement to fight Courtney. It's an undefeated striker from Oklahoma. I've never been familiar with her, but I've looked her up on YouTube, and you guys should too. Her name's Megan Goodwin, and she's primarily a striker, which is the same as Courtney. So we plugged her in to the matchup, and I have to tell you, the next morning I got a call from Brittany Dugas saying, hey, you know, if you haven't replaced my opponent, I can probably fight. So I'm kind of not sure what the situation is with that fight, but I'm going to keep my word to Megan and let her fight Courtney for the belt, and then the winner is going to be offered to Brittany Dugas at the next show. So that's kind of the state of our featherweight division with the women right now.
I like it. You're building up for down the road. That's great, you know, especially for the fans who follow you and the fans who are going to, you know, be attracted to your event, you know, through the streams and who have never been to your events, who come with their friends. To see two matches like that, knowing that at another event the winners are going to get to settle it, is great. I like that.
Yeah, that's
mentality.
Always,
I like
that's
that.
Always kind of cool, man. We have such a great women's division down here. I think right now we have 12 women in our 125-135 division. But at 145, I think we're sitting with maybe four or five. So it's kind of nice to finally have some really high-quality 45ers to kind of go at it. I'd like to have a tournament, but it's just so difficult to pull that off with female fighters in our part of the country. Maybe down the road.
Yeah, I know we've gone back and forth with the Facebook comments about, you know, tournaments in over there in your area, and honestly, you know, it can be an issue of either how deep is your pool or how many are willing to commit to the long term, you know. So, you know, it's two big problems you have to face right off the bat.
Well, you know, I think it might be the latter, because back at Show Fight 9, which 2010, I think it was, we had an all female event. It was Show Fight 9 Ladies Night. And I believe we had like 10 female fights on the card. It was brutal, but we pulled it off, and we made some great relationships in the MMA world. Matter of fact, we were just now getting to where, at that stage, we were just now getting to where people knew who we were, and we weren't just squatting in parking lots doing little small shows. And the women's MMA was what really got us our first little bit of national attention, I think. And it was really good to us, and so we've tried to have a female MMA fight on every card since. But really, it's just been incredible to see it blow up the way it has recently. It just makes me really proud that I was a part of that at the beginning stages. But I would really, really love it if the community of MMA, where I come from, would start to kind of cultivate that female division a little bit more, because they really are the best fights.
Do you think, JT, that might be the hardest place to convert people to watching women fight? Like, I mean, you live in the South. I mean, kind of like that old school mentality out there where, you know, women don't really fight a lot.
Yeah. I'll be real with you. A lot of my friends and colleagues around this part of the area are probably saying the same thing as me right now. There are great fighters in this part of the country. There really are some great fighters. I mean, we're all so proud of James Krause right now. You know, he comes from our area. And, of course, you know, I don't have to tell you guys, because you guys support the Midwest MMA scene, but the situation is really dire, because about 10 years ago, you couldn't get anybody to even allow you to have a mixed martial arts competition around here. You just couldn't. I mean, nobody wanted to touch you with a 10-foot pole. So first, those of us that were promoting shows, we really had to do a lot of political work just to be able to have the shows. And once we were able to have the shows, you know, we had
you
to really slowly build. I'm here.
No, I'm still here. I'm just listening.
Did you mute him?
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, but basically what happened, man, was we had to kind of slowly build our crowd by having to go into parking lots.
He's in the middle of giving a good answer,
bro. Lepaki, you're live.
Somebody talking in my ear, man. Who's that?
Lepaki's mic. I didn't mention that. Or
was he ordering pizza in the background?
Yeah. I'm sorry. You finished that. I think I muted him by accident and then unmuted him.
So you have control of
no,
it?
No, I couldn't hear
That's
you.
Wonderful. No, I mean, I was just saying, it was really tough for us at first. It was just a bitch because we had to do, like, little bitty shows, you know, where you'd have 200, 300 people show up. And you know, you had a lot of opposition from, you know, I remember once we did a show in a parking lot a long time ago here in Branson, Missouri. And I remember the mayor was here, and she was staring over the fence. And I went up and met her and, you know, and tried to see if I could get her to, you know, come down. And she wouldn't even step across the fence, you know. She was just, it was a strange situation. And I realized, you know, but little by little, you know, we started to get a little bit more and a little bit more of a following here. And then when we had the women's event, it was just, I'll be completely honest with you, it was one of the best fight cards that we've ever had as a company, but it was the least well-received event we've ever had out of 30 events. It was ridiculous. We had it in a multi-million dollar theater, and I think we ended up with about 400 people showed up there. And it was just horrible. We thought it was going to be a sellout, and it just was that people just weren't ready for female MMA. If you brought that here now, I think you'd probably sell 1,000, 1,500 tickets. So I'm just real happy about this state.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, I think it's great. I mean, I definitely understand what you're saying about, you know, back in the day out in the Midwest. I mean, I remember I was lucky enough to, like, live in Tulsa where, you know, Mikey Burnett was out of. So, and then Dale Cook's there as well. And I used to be able to go to watch some of his events that he put on at, like, the Greenwood Cultural Center there. But it was.
Sure, man. That's my background, too, brother.
There wasn't a lot of events, you know, to really go to. But, I mean, luckily, you know, you had a pretty good base there. I mean, Mikey had his relationship with Lions Den. So there was a lot more exposure there for it, but it definitely wasn't like cracking off every weekend. Like if you heard about fights, like you were probably driving wherever.
Yeah, that's true. And it was kind of strange because you would go to the fights and nobody had any understanding really at the time of what was happening in the cage, except for maybe the 15, 20 people that were there fighting. It
yeah.
So, everyone's so much more educated now. I was there actually in that time period, brother. I was living in Inola, Oklahoma at the time. And that's not because that's 20 miles east of Tulsa, and I was at a lot of those events too back in the day.
Yeah, I got like.
Yeah, I remember. I remember when Mikey was
watching Thomas Longacre.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, that.
I remember
guy,
watching
I mean,
Mikey, man. I remember when everybody just thought, you know, everybody just thought he was crazy actually, but I remember when everybody just thought he was crazy for getting in the cage, man.
Yeah, no, dude. He ran a gym right across the street. Like Mikey's gym was right across the street. I worked at All American Fitness there out in like at 31st and. Hell, I can't even think of the road now. Mingo.
That's right. You remember when UFC came to the Expo Center?
Yeah.
Were you around back then? Oh, Lord, that changed
there.
My life, man.
See, that was like about a year before I moved there.
Yeah, that changed, that altered the course of my life, man. Up until that point, man, I was, I remember UFC 1. I was at Blockbuster Video, rented the VHS. You remember VHS tapes, right?
Oh, yeah, no, I remember. I rented my sophomore year of high school. J-Tal was renting that. At the, like,
oh,
I
wow,
walked into the video place and rented that, and it was like, I was like, damn, I was like, what is this? Like, I was still so
Me
young.
Me too, man.
And
it was like
naive,
discovering crack.
That I was like, this is pro wrestling when they're actually punching each other in the face? I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah, man, it changed my life. I think it changed a lot of people's lives. I used to, you know, there was a time period in my life when I was in my early 20s where it was my everyday ritual on my way home from work. I would drive by the video store, go in, and just cruise that aisle just to see if a new UFC had come out. And I was addicted with it for, you know, several events before the internet was born and we could cyberstalk that way. But yeah, when we went to that event in Tulsa, man, it just, that altered the course of my life. I mean, this sport is so wonderful. It changes so many people's lives.
Hey, oh, sorry. Did I lose? What's wrong with your mic? Can you not hear him?
No.
I hear you. I hear JT just fine. I don't know what's going on with the Pocky. Well, look, let's jump to another fight that I was curious about. I'd like to talk about your heavyweights.
I wasn't really done like going down memory lane there with JT, but whatever.
Me too, man.
Well,
I felt like we
go...
had something cool going.
Look, you guys
kind of shut up, man.
Yeah, you
we had like a
out,
rhythm
bro.
Going, and now, yeah, you just poured salt, bro. Like, that was through the course of life with that. It's rough, man.
Well,
I thought you were like a congenial radio host, man.
Yeah, way to go, Chip. Way to go.
Yeah, way to go,
yo,
man.
Hey,
I think
it's so. Well, you're up for a Marconi this year, for sure.
Hey,
we can talk about the heavyweights, but you know. Man, if you guys are in the same room, I'm sure you're throwing punches at all times.
Now that's why they,
pretty
Carl
much
separates us. Carl put a divider between us.
We have to have an event where the where you guys all, you know, we have to have an MMA Madhouse tournament event. Last man standing gets
what,
the prize.
Actually, what we request is a over the top of the cage battle royal. And we'll bring our own strap. We just need a promoter willing to do an over the top of the cage battle royal, no holds barred. No groin shots. Anything other than that is good to go. Would you be willing to put on a Filipino knife fight between Skippy and I?
Man, I don't know. I'm if we can do the Philippines,
trying.
I'm in.
We've been trying to get we're on this push to try to get Oregon to allow it. It's not working.
A Filipino knife fight?
Yeah.
I tell you what I would do. We have knives here at the gym with tasers in the end. Have you seen those?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes, I would do that, man. If you guys would knife fight with tasers, man, so nobody gets cut, that'd be funny as shit. I would do that.
Dude, that would be fucking
Lepaki.
Awesome.
Lepaki, right now I'm looking at that beautiful Madhouse Championship belt all crusted in black leather and gold. I think that's how we have to determine the champion. We're going to fly down to show fights, and we're going to taser fight for the title.
It seems like the right thing to do. Yeah. I don't know if we should
like
do
the
show
promotion.
Fight so much. Maybe we should just do it at the gym here, keep me out of court. But, yeah, let's do it for sure.
Yeah, I'll sign a waiver, bro.
Yeah. We'll sign waivers. You would sell more tickets than your whole big card with all the big names. The people would be flying in from like Jamaica to see this event.
Yeah, for sure, man. Let's do it. Let's do it, man.
Hey, speaking of the fighting, man, this Bales fight, this guy
Sean
is like
Bales,
he's like a little fire hydrant. If folks out there don't
know, man, he's
like,
a crazy looking dude.
Yeah,
let me tell you the story on this.
70?
Yeah, well, you know what, man, I think he's 265, man. I think he intends to come in at 270. It's kind of a funny story. He's the, you know, Springfield, Branson, Missouri area, that's basically where we conduct our shows. And about an hour and a half away is the Joplin area. And they were hit recently really badly by a tornado. You guys, I'm sure, heard about that. And it really devastated their city. And their primary fight league there, their most successful fight league, is a league called Cage of Honor. And Sean Bales has their super heavyweight title. And then their heavyweight champion is a guy named Josh Ferries. And these fighters are all kind of stagnant right now because they aren't able to have shows in Joplin. So their super heavyweight champion and their heavyweight champion are going to meet in super heavyweight division and fight for the show fight super heavyweight belt. And what we're trying to do is just keep that area, the Joplin area, active, because there are quite a few fighters that haven't fought. Some of them were coming up on a year now. And I think I've got about 10 of them on this card, actually.
Yeah, that sounds interesting, but, I mean, so what do you think about a guy that's 5'9", fighting super heavyweight?
Man, you know, when I first met this cat, it was kind of crazy because I didn't realize what his dimensions were, man. You know, if you see pictures of him, he looks like a big hoss. But the dude carries it kind of well. I mean, he's a big, stocky cat, man, and he's a Native American guy, so that can kind of show you, if you kind of visualize that, you can see how Native Americans carry their meat, you know. And he's no punk, dude. That dude is down to scratch. Yeah, he's a big dude, but he's one of those cats that you wouldn't want to meet him in a dark alley. But if you did, man, he'd be more likely to loan you money than he would steal it. You know, he's a good dude. The guy he's fighting is ridiculous stuff. Did you see that cat yet? His name is Josh Berry.
I don't think I've seen him fight.
He's 6'2", 265. And if you ever catch a full body shot of him, you know, he's like like Brock Lesnar type build, and I'm not exaggerating in the least. He's massive. And I have no idea how the fight's going to go because I'm kind of unfamiliar with both of their styles, but pretty big fight for the people in the Joplin area because these are their two primary horses, I believe. And, of course,
nice.
we had a real red super heavyweight champion for the longest time, Jason Schreck Ostrowski. Without a doubt, the baddest heavyweight in the state of Missouri and probably in the Midwest, without a doubt. We love him, but he's just too small to fight super heavyweight. He defended his belt 3 times, so he went ahead and vacated it so that we could put it up at this show, but he still holds our heavyweight strap. And I just spoke to him the other day. He'll be fighting on one of the next cards soon, but he's just insane. Everyone should look him up. There's a real cool video on YouTube of Jason Shrek Ostrowski versus I don't want to put the guy on blast, but he fought the number one ranked heavyweight in the state last year at Show Fight 17. And it's one of the most incredible heavyweight fights we've ever had. It's on YouTube, Jason Shrek Ostrowski versus, I don't know, just put in Show Fight and you can use it yourself. I hate to put the guy's name out there. But,
Come on,
check that out, man.
Come on, just say it.
No, man, I had an issue
it's
with
not,
the guy's
it's
wife.
Not, it's
like,
not putting anything, it's, you're not putting the guy on blast. I mean, it's the fight happened.
Yeah.
People know it happened. It's not like you're talking shit about him. You're just telling
no,
the people
I'm not
the,
dude.
The
no,
name
I,
of the fight.
No,
I mean,
no, you don't get to bully me, you little shit. No, no, no. This is what happened, man. His wife, his wife called me up. I respect what you're trying to do, but no, man, I'm friends with this cat, and his wife didn't really like me putting him on blast about his about his loss. So you guys can research it, and it's cool, but I don't want to put him on blast, man. What's with the hard-hitting journalism, man? How come I don't get this when Chris Gregory's on the horn, man? Where's Chris tonight?
I don't know, man. It's because you're
call in,
you,
Chris.
There's hey, dude, there's rookie ball, and then you can come play with me and Skippy and be in the big league.
Man, I'd like to be
you
in the big
league. You know
where
Chris Gregory is right now? Chris Gregory right now is probably pulling up to the back of the building in an 86 Impala to try to convince King Mo to go drink with him.
You know what? You're absolutely right. That's probably, you know what? If you text him, that's probably what he's doing, man. I guarantee
dude,
if he's not already drunk backstage.
King Mo's going to go have a beer with me, dude.
Hey, let me tell you guys a story about Chris Gregory that I know to be true, and he probably wouldn't tell you this, but at Show Fight 20, we had Drew Fickett was on the card, and Drew was devastated. He got beat by Jonatas Novaes, also on YouTube. That's an awesome head kick knockout. Check it out. But anyway, Jonatas Novaes and Drew Fickett was devastated. He had said on the pay-per-view, he had said on the broadcast that if he lost the fight, he would end up being homeless. There was a lot. He had 47 days of sobriety. It was a big deal, man, and he got beat real quickly, and he was devastated, and all he wanted was a ride back to the hotel. He didn't even want to stay around at the event. And so, you know, I'm friends with Chris Gregory. Of course, I knew how much he would love that. I said, hey, man, Chris, you give Drew Fickett a ride back to the hotel. He said, oh, hell yeah, man. And on the way back to the hotel, Drew and Chris were on the way home, and Drew wanted to stop for a drink, man. And you know what? I know Chris Gregory would love to have a drink with Drew Fickett and sit down and tell lies, man, but that man talked Drew Fickett out of drinking that night, and I was proud of him for that, man. And I think Chris Gregory, he showed his true colors that night because it wasn't easy to tell that man, no, I'm not stopping for a drink. That's Drew Fickett, you know what I'm saying? So good on Chris Gregory, man. That's my good, positive
See, that
Chris
was-
Gregory story.
That was the first event, I think, that we talked to you guys at, because that was the same event that had, like, John Gunderson, the guy from out here that trains in Vegas now, had Matt Kovacs.
You had
representation out there, and I think that was the first time that we talked to you and Mike.
Yeah, that's when I first met you guys, man, because before then, man, we hadn't really done any pro show. That was our first pro event.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
yeah, that was a good time.
Great relationship built, man, and we've got a couple minutes left before our next guest. So
I just want to know the guy's fucking name.
I know personally that you have more going on than show fights, and I know you're getting ready to go out on world tour. So, man, give out all the information you need for both businesses, dude.
Oh man, okay, I'll do that. I got my band that I sing with. What's that, bro?
He's still laughing. He's gonna say it.
No, man, you
PJ Cisco.
PJ Cisco. No. PJ's no.
No, he's like no, not that one. He's trying.
Listen, man. At this point, I know the guy would just tell me, "Go ahead, JT. Just give him my name, man. If it's that big of a deal, it's Rob Philippus. He's a badass dude. He's a huge man." He's great, but no, it ain't. It's not that big of a deal that you got to, like, ask 10 times, man. It's Rob Philippus. Look it up. It's a great fight. Rob's a kick-ass guy. He's a gentleman and a badass fighter, but, you know, he had not really been handled like that before in his career, and they didn't like me blasting the video, and so I kind of feel douchey even saying you should watch it.
Okay, see, this is, man, JT, see, this is my problem, man. You know, things happen, man. These things happen. You can't hide from the truth. I mean, it happened. Nobody's going to talk shit about you. You know, I see a lot of guys I got video of that, you know, they're like, oh, I don't like my video being out. Like, what the fuck, man? If your goal is to make it somewhere and fight, then why does it matter what video they have of you? If you're so concerned with your opponent, like, seeing video of you, focus on what you're doing and less on what your opponent is doing.
Like, I'll tell you what, when you come down, let me...
For these guys to build, like, a following and, like, get money like they should be getting money, you know, as they climb up the ladder, you want to have your videos out there so people can watch them. They can develop a relationship with you, and you can have a following so that you have some, like, negotiating leverage with promotions as you're climbing the ladder. And it's not just like, hey, bro, nobody's ever heard of you. Here's 6 and 6. When you can go to a guy like JT and be like, look, man, my YouTube video's got 1,000 views. I can sell at least 100 tickets. That's going to have a guy like JT more willing to put you on his cards. Because, you know, at the end of the
man,
day,
I hear you, bro. I hear you, man. But
fucking selling tickets. And if these guys want to get our tickets, man, put your
fucking
video up, man.
Man, listen, are you going to pass this? Are you going to pass the collection plate at the end of this? Because that's a lot of words, bro. Let me say this. I hear you, bro, and I don't disagree. But, bro, man, that was like a 40-year-old lecturing a 16-year-old. Let me tell you what's up. That dude weighs 300 pounds. When you come down here for your taser fight, come on, brother, and I'll let you tell him what you just told me. Because when this dude tells me don't put my video up, fuck that, dude. I got kids. I'm going to put the video down. The truth is, everybody saw the fight, and I'm happy that the fight happened. But the truth is, man, I'm here to be friends to the fighters, man. I'm going to foster them when they decide that they want to go pro. Hey, listen, if they haven't handled their career and their promo properly and they don't make any money, I'll do what I can to help them. But fuck, the onus on that's not on me, brother. You know, that's
no, I'm not
fact.
Saying it's on
now,
you, but what I'm saying is that if
no, I know you're not,
video,
man. But
then
here's
it would
the thing.
Help
if you're going to
help them get money.
No,
it
I hear you, but if you're going to pontificate, you have to keep in mind that I'm a promoter that has about 200, 250 fighters. And I love prime. I probably honestly have close friendships with about 80, 85% of them. And one of the things that makes our organization work is that we love them and we're all family. You ask anyone, they'll probably tell you that. We're all family. And the thing is, in order for us to foster that type of a community of fighters, we have to sometimes when somebody, you know, calls up, when somebody calls me up and says, hey, JT, man, I saw the fight poster, but I look like a total fag, man. This picture of me, man, I'll take the picture off, bro. Absolutely, man. That's my friend, you know. Now, at Showfight 20, when I was dealing with, you know, Marcus Aurelio and Kendall Grove and Ronda Rousey and Cairo Parisian and, you know, if they call me up, hey, you know, I don't like my photo. Listen, bro, I pay you $12,000 to fight Kendall Grove. You know, I feel like I'm going to use the picture I want. But if you're driving from St. Louis on your dime and you're coming down here and all I'm going to be able to give you is $100 for gas in a hotel room, bro, I'm not going to tell you how to run your career because you're really kind of doing me a favor. And that's kind of the way I feel about it. I do agree that Rob Philippus probably, if he were on the phone with us right now, he would probably say it's really not that big of a deal because he's not a douche or anything, and it wasn't like that. But the truth is, man, I have to respect these fighters. You know, without them, I would have no organization at all. And I've seen a lot of my competition just completely go out of business because they lost sight of that.
I'm not saying that you don't respect them. All I'm saying is that
don't you yell at me, you son of a bitch.
Far too often, fighters complain about not fucking making money. I don't make enough fucking money. I want to make $1,000 and $1,000 to fight this guy. I want to make
$1,000
this fucking guy. And you know what?
But here's the thing. If you pay them $1,000 and $1,000, then they're going to bitch on their Facebook about wanting $2,000 and $2,000. That's the nature of a fighter.
And if they can justify that to you because they'll sell enough tickets because they've built a following in your area, would you be more inclined to a guy that said, JT, I could probably sell 200 tickets? What is that going to do for you?
Man, I'm going to be honest with you, bro. I'm not that guy. I'm going to book the best fight. I swear to you. I'm not that fucking guy, man. I got money. I'm not a bitch for money. I'm not a whore for money. I love mixed martial arts. I have a career that makes me plenty of money, bro. I'll be completely honest with you. I don't really care how many tickets they sell. I just want to see good fights, and that's a genuine answer, and you can test
me on
that.
Well, no, I'm glad that you say that because that is one of my complaints. But from a fighter's perspective, their goal is to sell tickets sometimes to make money.
Yes.
Right? To supplement their income, their goal is to make money. So if
my
goal is to make money, and in order for me to make money and sell tickets, I've got to have people that want to see me fight. then I need to have videos up on YouTube that people can build a relationship with me on so that they want to come and see me fight.
This I agree with you there, man.
Promoters. This is all about how fighters need to be thinking about, like, you know, if you say, I don't want my videos up, because I see guys far too often that say, I don't want my video up, whether they knocked a dude out in 12 seconds or they got knocked out in 12 seconds. It goes both ways.
Hey, I'm with you on that. But anyone that knows our organization, brother, you can go on our Facebook page. In fact, you should.
I'm not talking about
all of your family
right now.
There.
This was just like
no.
I've been sitting
I'm with
fighters
you,
for a long time.
I'm with you, man. I'm just saying, anybody that sees that, you guys know that I agree with that sentiment, because we try to make our amateur fighters feel like pro fighters. And we try to give them that platform where they can kind of brand themselves and kind of learn about the business. But sometimes they don't want that, man. Sometimes they don't want to accept a loss, or sometimes they don't want a video of themselves failing. And the truth of the matter is, if that's their wishes, man, I have to respect that. And I agree with you. I agree with you that it's probably good for you to have a few losses up on YouTube. But at the end of the day, man, no pro promoter that I know goes on YouTube and watches the videos and looks at the videos and calls which fight they're going to book off of the videos. The pro promoters that I know talk to the coaches, they look at the rankings, they look at the records, and most of them are waiting until the very last minute and looking for an opponent for their guy. The truth of the matter is, we all know how it works, and we all know how it should work, and the way that it should work is you should put the matchup together, call the fighters, and book it far, far in advance, but that's not how it works. And it's not about YouTube videos, and it's not about, you know, who's politically connected to who. It's about who does the promoter have on the card and who's willing to take the fight. And that's unfortunate, but that's how it works. And I agree with you about having fights up on YouTube. I agree with you 100% that people should promote themselves and fighters should promote themselves. But sometimes, man, the fighters aren't going to go pro. And sometimes they just want to get their aggression out, man, and put on a show for their family and friends. And if something happens that's embarrassing, man, there's no need to ridicule them, you know.
Nobody's ridiculing them. I mean, nobody ridicules anybody.
Oh, brother, that's not true at all, man. You know, that's one of the things that people don't understand is, like, just running the Show Fight Facebook. It's a full-time gig, man. You'll have somebody that kicks somebody's ass in the cage, right? And maybe they're good friends and they have a beer afterwards. And then the video goes up on Facebook. And all of their hillbilly relatives and all of their high school drunken, you know, football teammates, man, they all go on there and talk shit. Oh, you kicked that guy's ass, or, oh, that guy's a pussy. And the next thing you know, then you got the other guy's friends, and then you've got all of this negativity and all this drama. And, you know, that's just not good for us as a company. It's not good for us as a sport. So a lot of times, man, I just feel like it's best not to have that. So what I normally do is I just send the fighter the video, and they can do with it as they please. But
so you think, guys, it's better for guys to act like something never happened than to, like, actually realize that it did happen?
No,
yeah,
I don't.
Why would guys want to hide from the truth?
Well, you have to keep in mind that not everybody enters this sport preparing to go pro. I run into probably 50% of the fighters I run into, they fight 2-3 times and then they never fight again, you know. And sometimes, man, you just don't want to deal with it, you know. And the truth is, I have never had anybody that had a, you know, a 10-5 record or a 21-6 record that said, no, don't put my video up. But a guy, you know, a guy that has an embarrassing loss or you know, the people in his hometown are making fun of him and sharing the video and talking badly about him, or maybe his ex-wife. I've had situations where someone's ex-wife is ridiculing them by making fun of their loss. I'm going to take their video down for a little while.
You've got a guy on the wrong end of a knockout, and then you've got a guy that had a highlight reel knockout. How do you justify to that guy, sorry, bro, your video can't be up because this guy doesn't want the world to see your highlight reel?
Yeah, that's never happened, man. I don't think that would be something that would be allowed to happen. I think this is a special case where I got a phone call from a fighter's wife. She was really upset because there was a lot of ridicule going on. She said, please take the video down. My husband just doesn't need to deal with this right now. So I took the video down, and then let's say 8 months to a year later, I said, hey, I'm going to put the video back up so that people can see the fight. She said, okay, we put the video back up, and now I'm telling you about it.
Well, JT,
that's basically what happened, man.
For everybody out there, we're going to do a whole 2-hour show coming up in a couple weeks with a bunch of your fighters. We're going to get to talk with you some more. I've got our next guest in queue. You want to give some quick shout-outs before I wrap up?
Yeah, man. You know, truthfully, man, it's just anybody that's ever come to any of our shows. There's a big, huge group of people that do these shows. Sometimes it looks like it's just me. It's not me. It's about 30 of us that put these shows on, and If any of them are listening, hey, thanks. You know, we're doing good stuff. And to all the fighters in the community that give us a chance and fight in our shows, we appreciate it. And, you know, anybody that's a supporter of MMA, you know, you watch pay-per-views or you watch on TV, give a local event an opportunity, man, because you'll find that they're a lot more interesting than what you can see on TV. And that's what I have to say.
Well,
all of our sponsors know who they are.
On,
yeah, for sure, man. Thanks.
Answer, bro.
Thanks for not wearing me out on the platters thing. I appreciate that.
Hey, good luck on your world tour, brother.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we appreciate you guys, man. You support us in our part of the country, man. We really appreciate you guys, and we support you back.
Hey, man,
well,
we appreciate
thanks,
it. Just,
we'll talk
really
to you soon, brother.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon, man. I'll talk to you later, man. Go watch the video. Bye.
Okay, folks, and we're going to get right to the man,
I'm
going to
post that motherfucking video.
Mike 300 Hayes, how are you doing tonight, brother?
Hey, I'm doing real well. How are you?
Not bad. Welcome to MMA Madhouse Live. You're on with Lopaki and me. Sorry, we tried to wrap that up. Lopaki is, he loves to talk with JT. We want to talk with you. You're going to be on the first War MMA card in a trilogy fight, man. How pumped are you for that?
Man, I'm excited. It's a fight that I didn't think I was going to get again, and I'm ready. I finally feel great, and yeah, my body's feeling good, my mind's feeling right, and I'm ready to throw down.
Now, for folks out there who might not know because they live under a rock or they're just retarded Zufa zombies, you're going to be fighting DJ Linderman again. You guys have fought a couple of times over the years. This is your chance to really make a statement in this fight. You just mentioned you didn't think you'd get this fight again. Why didn't you think you would get this fight again? I mean, you obviously you have a solid record. You have a good career.
Yeah, I just I know that he was going down to light heavyweight, and my intentions were not to go to light heavyweight, that I was staying at heavyweight. And, I mean, honestly, I lost to him twice. They were both close fights. The last one, I was very injured for it. I was fighting with one arm, and I needed to do it because I needed the money for my family and everything, and I knew I could beat him even with one arm. I knew I had that chance, and it was a close fight, but he got the win, and I didn't think that that somebody would give me a third shot at it, and now that I have it, man, I'm excited, and I've prepared well for this one, and everything's just falling into place.
Now, you know, Diaz came out, you know, a lot of people had, a lot of things to say, you know, good and bad, both about him starting a promotion. We feel, looking over the card, that he brought in some great, great fighters. How honored were you to be able to be on this first card for them?
Oh, I'm excited. I think that DJ and I present a great matchup. I mean, we have our bad blood and everything, but besides that, we're two guys that aren't going to quit. Like, I'll give that to him. You know, like, we're going to step in there and we're going to put on a show for the fans, and we're coming to throw down, which, I mean, that's what the Diaz brothers do. You know, they go toe-to-toe, and, you know, whether you love them or you hate them or whatever, that's the way they fight. And honestly, I mean, they're exciting to watch. So I think the fact that they brought me in on this card, I'm very, very happy. It's kind of an honor, I guess, to be brought in for something like that.
Now, I got to, you know, for fans out there, they're going to be able to watch you Saturday night for free. They can go to warmma.com and watch the stream for free. Now, I got to talk. I know that's a big deal, but it's very rare that I get someone, you know, that I'm a huge, huge, huge fan of. And you fought on a card recently. I know it didn't go your way, but I felt you looked pretty decent. But I'm a big fan of the Battle of Moscow, which actually is tomorrow. They have an event tomorrow. How much did you or did you not like fighting for that promotion?
I really enjoyed it. They treated me great. I mean, they brought me over there. It was world-class organization. Once you get over there, they took us to do anything and everything. I had a driver that would take me all over town, show me all of Moscow, both times that I fought for them. So, yeah, I thought it was really a stand-up organization, and I love fighting for them.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of what they're doing. I like their production value. I like the fights they put on. And, you know, I'm a big fan of the ring versus the cage anyway. So, you know, I like that they kind of keep that old school feel. Now, when you fight for them, is there any rule differences that inhibit or make your game stronger? Or is it the same unified rules we're using here?
Oh, boy, I'm trying to think. I've lost track of which organizations have which rules and stuff. I've had too many fights now, but I think there wasn't anything that, like, jumped out or stood out in my mind. The only difference, I guess, for me was fighting in a ring compared to a cage. That's a much different feel when you're in there. And I wasn't fighting wrestlers, so I guess it didn't make that big of a difference. I shouldn't say difference, but, like, a disadvantage. Being in a cage, like a smaller cage or something against a wrestler, is obviously a big disadvantage for a striker. But both times I fought Arlovsky and I fought Ruslan Magomedov, or I think that's how you say his name. Both of them are strikers, so there wasn't any disadvantage or anything like that there.
Now, you know, it's funny because we've talked about this with, you know, fighters and fans and on the different shows on our network. You know, do you have a preference ultimately if you could choose to fight in a ring or a cage? Do you prefer one or the other, or does it really not matter to you?
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'd say it doesn't really matter. I'll just fight wherever because, you know, both of us are in there. It's a fight no matter what. But as a fighter, there's a different feel when you are in a cage and they lock that door. It's a different feeling. I don't even really know how to explain it, but, I mean, you know, you're like a caged animal. You're trapped in there, and you're kind of blocked off a lot more from the audience and everybody else out there. So it's kind of a cool feeling. I kind of like that feeling of being in a cage, but at the same time, I've always liked having a bigger cage because I'm a more active heavyweight striker. You know, I need to move because I'm a lot smaller than the rest of them.
Now, we touched on, you've got to fight for quite a bit of different organizations. I got to ask you, you know, we hear a lot of people going the Bellator route. You've been there and done that. Is there a reason that personally that you're not there, or is it you just decided to go a different route? Is it that, you know, I'm curious because your last fight, you know, was a good fight, especially for fans to watch, you know?
Yeah, I don't know what to say about Bellator. I'm not gonna talk a bunch of trash. All I'm gonna say is that I wanted to be an active fighter. I wanted my fight, and I was very excited to get into the organization, but they just didn't have enough fights to give out other than their tournaments. And that was the thing that was very frustrating for me. I just couldn't be active enough, and it's not like they paid me good enough. You know, they pay good, but being in the tournaments, I mean, unless you win the whole dang thing, then you're not getting paid good enough to stay dormant for, you know, 6, 7, 8 months before your next fight.
Labaki, do you want to jump in?
Well, I like to call it hella.
Labaki's got a shit-eating grin on his face right now, like he's got something to say.
I just like to call it Hellator.
Yeah.
Because it's hell on the fighters, man. It's hard for these guys to stay active, just like you're saying. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. I mean, if they want to go with that structure, then they just need to allow you to fight for other organizations without jumping through so many hoops and having to get so much paperwork signed off. And then, I had a fight that against Sean McCorkle that for CFA in Miami or in Fort Lauderdale or whatever, and that I was given permission for, and then permission was drawn back before they gave like the written permission. So I almost got sued by CFA, and I wanted to fight. That's all I wanted to do was fight, and I lost out on the fight and then almost got sued over it as well.
All right, enough about the BS. Let's focus on what my case is doing nowadays. Now, hey, dude, one of the things I see you doing that is really kind of interesting, I think, is you've got a paddleboard business on top of your fight training, man. How did you hop into that gig?
So I've been doing it for a few years just kind of as a workout and just something that I love to do. I like being outside. I'm big into, like, just being outdoors, nature. I ski and snowmobile during the winter. And during the summer, I really like to be out on the water. So my buddy down in San Diego, like Lake Elsinore area in California, he builds boards for a company called AIC, and he hooked me up with the boards and basically said, like, you need to get this going up in the Northwest because there's not enough people doing it up there. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I might as well show everybody else, like, how cool it is and, you know, what a good time I have out there. And for, like, all the fighters and everybody that I train with, show them, like, how much it can add to their workout. And it sounds funny, you know, you don't think of, like, paddleboarding as a big workout, but, man, it is. It's crazy how good of a workout it can be. And then on top of that, you start doing actual, like, workouts on the water on the board, so, like, squats and sit-ups and push-ups, and it's working your balance the whole time. And it's just it's a unique way of doing it, and it's really fun, too.
See, and this is kind of, like, one of the things that I find this rivalry that you and DJ have to be so interesting, because I think if you guys lived in the same town, you would probably be training partners because you guys are so similar. Like, I haven't really got to talk to you much, but I've talked to people that you know, that get the opportunity to chat with you on a pretty regular basis. And it seems like you guys have the same hobbies. You both like to be outside. You both like to be active. You both like to fight all the time, you know, and it's just like it kind of brings an interesting dynamic to this whole trilogy you guys have, I think.
Yeah, and I don't know, it's a weird situation, and honestly, after our first fight, you know, we had a good close fight. He beat me on points with his wrestling, and we were totally fine before and after that fight. We were cool. I congratulated him. You know, he was like, congrats on having your baby, because my wife was in labor at the time, and it was totally fine, and the whole grudge thing didn't start until maybe 7-8 months after that first fight. When all of a sudden, like, I look on, like, social media stuff, and he's on there, like, talking a ton of trash. And I'm starting to wonder, because it doesn't seem like, I don't know, honestly, I don't hear him talking that much trash, like, in person or even in interviews or anything. I'm wondering if it was one of his, like, his manager, trainer guys at the time that I already know that he starts a ton of stuff and causes a lot of problems with different organizations and fighters and everything. And I'm wondering if that had something to do with it. And then the back and forth just got carried out of control. And I don't know, because I hear you. Like, we probably would be training partners, and we'd probably be fine if we lived in the same area. But the way that it all worked out, it just, you know, didn't turn out like that.
Yeah. But, hey, man, I mean, it keeps you guys – it'll be the third paycheck you guys have got. So, you know,
yeah, that's
all, through,
that's
the,
right.
all through the rivalry, you know.
Yeah, and after I get the swim, then there will probably be a fourth as well.
Is that what's going to – you don't want to just end it on the win?
No, I mean, honestly, I think we've already gotten some tentative offers if I was to win. You know, we got people that would want to see another one. I know for sure – that he would want to have another chance at it if I was to win.
So, hey, you know, when you look back on your career, Mike, what fight do you look back at the most? It's kind of like the one that, when, if you were going to, like, sit down and tell your grandkids about one fight in your career, which fight would you want to go with?
Oh, boy, probably, I'd probably have to say my fight against, what's his name, in Dubai.
Crania Pikus. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a big one for me. I mean, definitely my biggest win as far as, like, getting the belt over there, and then plus just the experience. I mean, crap, who would have ever known that I'd be fighting in the Middle East and experiencing something like that? So that, as of right now, that would probably be it. But hopefully it doesn't stop there, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, and that's, and see, that's something else that, you know, that you kind of take into that DJ does a lot. You guys like to travel around and fight in these, like, remote places. I mean, you've been to Dubai. We were just talking about your fights at Moscow,
Dublin.
You know, Dublin. So, I mean, you know, I wish that some of these young fighters that are coming up would see what you guys also do and you know, see the opportunities that you've got. Because, I mean, when would, do you think you'd have ever gone to Dubai, Mike, if you wouldn't have been paid to go there to fight?
No, absolutely not. I mean, yeah, same thing with, like, Moscow. It's just, like, that's always been a big dream of mine, to see the world and get out and, you know, travel. But, crap, I mean, reality is I'm married, I have three kids, and I fight for a living, and I haven't made it to the very top, so I don't get paid like I need to make that a reality, you know? So this has been, like, a dream come true to be able to do that.
Hey, I tell you what, if you're ever blessed again to fight in Dubai, you've got to hit up the new Glory gym there. Man, I don't know if you've seen the videos of this new gym Glory built there, but it's like 40,000 square foot inside, outside, and they have everything you could ever imagine. And it's a ridiculous gym, and it's open to the public.
Holy cow, yeah, I hadn't even heard about that, but hopefully I do get over there again, and if I do, I will. I'll go see that.
Oh, yeah, it's, I just watched the documentary on it, beautiful. But, I mean, you know, same thing with, I mean, you know, Russia, Ireland, honestly, even Washington, the state of Washington is a beautiful place. I mean, you know, you get these opportunities, and, you know, it does suck to have to step away from your family for that time, but the experience and the long term, when you can sit down with your children and say, you know, these different cultures and these different foods and these different everything, it's such a great experience to ultimately bring you and your family together.
It really is. It's really, like, changed my outlook on life, you know, being able to see different things. I got to go over to Jordan, Cage Warriors took me over there after my Dubai win. And, man, that was crazy seeing like that side of things in the Middle East, you know, totally different than like Dubai, but it's been a really cool journey, I guess.
So,
is there anywhere that you haven't fought that you'd like to fight? Just in case any international promoters are listening, where's do you need to go to Southeast Asia, Australia, maybe?
Yeah, so I mean, I've actually talked to somebody over. I guess Australia is a big one for me. I have a possibility coming up in Korea in like August or September, and then same thing with Brazil. I've never been to Brazil, and I would love to get down that way as well.
Sweet, there
you have it,
international people. Is that for Road FC by chance?
I haven't fought for them. No.
Well,
I'd love to travel somewhere to do it.
Hey, my boy, Khalid, president of Evolution Fighting Championship in Egypt, if you're listening tonight, I just talked to you last week. You said you'd like to have more heavyweights on your card. Here you go.
Yeah, that's right. I can find a heavyweight or 205 right now. I'm right in the middle, and I'm ready to do either.
Well, since you started paddleboarding, have you become more of a vegetarian?
What was that?
Since you started this paddleboarding thing and you're more in touch with nature now that you do that so often, do you finally eat more vegetables now, and that's how you're getting down to the 205?
Yeah, man, I started eating a ton more vegetables. Nothing to do with the paddleboarding because I still eat my meat. I'm definitely not a vegetarian, but I've been a lot healthier.
I mean, Washington's had some interesting changes the last few months, so you just never know.
Yeah.
So, for fans out there, where are you training at?
I train at Ring Demon in South Center, Renton, Washington. Eric Dahlberg's my coach. I train with Trevor Smith, who's getting ready to fight Ed Herman on the next UFC card, I guess the Seattle UFC card. And, yeah, I got the great training partners there. Eric's best coach in the area. Phenomenal. I just wish that I could get to the gym more often, like when I was younger.
So this is, you're pretty much tailed down your training camp, and it's going to kind of be the softer stuff this week, right?
Yeah, now it's, I've gone pretty hard the past couple days, but I'm just kind of cruising now, just making sure my cardio is up there, and I'm still getting in a little bit of work and technique. But got to be healthy for this one.
And mentally, going into this fight, feeling healthy and feeling to being 100%, how big of a difference has this camp been for you?
Oh, it's been, I mean, night and day difference. The last camp, so the last time I fought him over in Ireland, I was having an awesome camp, and then about 3 to 4 weeks before the camp, I got picked up by a wrestler who were doing, like, full-on MMA training, got picked up and slammed, and I posted I tried to post my hand down, and the guy's, like, 300 pounds, and he landed right on top of me. I missed getting my hand down and put my elbow hit, and it just, like, jammed my shoulder. And honestly, like, I've been told numerous things by specialists that I tore my rotator and that I tore my labrum and all sorts of things, and I never could get it figured out. They said I needed to rest it, and I tried that for a year and had terrible training camps for my last few fights against Arlovski and Ruslan. And finally, I just said, screw it, and I started lifting heavy again and pushing through the pain. And I got a lot of my strength back, and my shoulder has been much better. I mean, it's not like it used to be, but compared to last time I fought DJ, I mean, it's from like 10% up to about 90%.
Well, I'll tell you what, I know a lot of the fans out there, man, including myself, we're all going to be glued to that stream, warmma.com. You know, it's got to, you know, when you get to get on television or get to get on these streams, it's got to be nice for your, you know, the camp and the guys at your gym who can't make it to watch you perform. Did you know that this was going to be streamed ahead of time?
Yes, I did. And that was, I like it when that happens, especially, you know, my family and everything back at home. Wife's going to stay at home with the kids. She wanted to come, but just wasn't going to work out, so she's staying at home. But at least she gets to watch it.
Well, I know, you know, like I said, it, you know, for a fan, a true fan, not Zuffa Zombies, but fans who love the sport of MMA, who watch it at every level, follow it around the world, and follow fighters, you know, like yourself, you know, a trilogy is a rare thing, that's, especially when it's a legit trilogy, you know, guys who truly came in and fought, and it's not, you know, not a promoter who cupcakes a guy, you know, so for me, this is got a lot of history that's going to be made that night. You pull off the victory in the trilogy, I mean, that's a big statement. That's a big mark in MMA history for true fans.
Yeah, and it's, you know, that would be a big mark for me, too. That would pretty much, if I could finish him, then that erases those two losses in my mind, you know?
True.
Yeah.
Well, we know that you took the time out. I know it's, you know, you got a family. It's week, fight week and everything. So before we wrap up with you, I want you to have some time. Any shout-out to sponsors, social media, fans, gym, whoever you want. Take your time.
To my gym, Ring Demon, they've been huge for me. All my training partners there, Trevor and Bob. Want to shout out to Noctu, which is a little Thai training gym in Issaquah, Washington. They've helped me a little bit with my striking. That's been real nice. And then all my consistent sponsors, Owens Meats, myself with Smooth Water Saddleboarding. I got to throw that out there. And my buddy with COB Clothing and Gene Geyser, he's taken care of me through the years and really helped me to do this as a pro. And then all my friends and family and fans, just thanks for all the support.
Well, you know, thank you so much, Mike, for taking the time to join us. We all look forward to seeing this war coming up Saturday. And we hope down the road you come back on and hang out with us, talk to us more about traveling the world.
Thanks, man. I'd love to. Got to go get this win and then, get back at me.
Awesome, man. Thanks, Mike. We appreciate it, brother.
Cool. Thanks, yes.
Everybody, Mike 300 Hayes, you guys can find him on Twitter, Facebook. Just Google his name, dude. He's out there. Get out there and support local MMA wherever you're at. If you're not doing anything this weekend, free stream to watch him fight DJ, guys, and a ton of other great fighters on this card. War MMA. You guys go there. It's free. I don't know what else I can say other than it's free. You have great battles on it. You have a trilogy to be settled. Wow. I mean, come on, folks. Get out there and support local MMA. And when you're out at your events, buy the fighter T-shirts. Go over there and get the mouth guards from the local vendor. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards is probably set up at every event you go to anyway. Buy the T-shirts. Get a fighter to sign your gear, man. Just show some love. Go out there, and instead of spending that $40.99 on that Zuffa shit, take it one time and go out and support some local fighters, man. Lapaki, I know we've got to talk.
Dude, hold on, dude. I got to do something. I'm getting away from MMA for a second. But I got to do this, dude. Matt Boyd just threw one of the best games of Oregon State University Beaver pitcher has ever thrown in a complete game shutout against Indiana.
Indiana.
In an elimination game at fucking College World Series, bro. That shit was sick. So
that's
now they got to beat Mississippi State twice, advance to the 2 out of 3 for the national title. 2 games away from playing for a national title. Come on, boys.
Dude,
nice job,
sick,
Matt
bro.
Boyd.
Hey, that's how Oklahoma did it, man. They turned on the fire, man, in the softball.
Yeah.
Dude, by the way, that was some sweet shit Micah posted. I shared it. I loved it.
Chris Gregory wants to know if I have any questions for the post-fight press conference.
Yeah, Keith Moe, how did it feel not to get knocked out?
No, he won't ask anything to Mo because that's his buddy.
Oh, that's right. He's going to pick him up in the 86 Corolla.
I didn't know he could afford an 86 Corolla.
I think it's actually an 86 Pontiac, but I was trying to make him sound cool because, you know, I always picture this short little fat guy getting one of those little Honda Accords and, like, racing around with a big tail and an 8-inch muffler. Sounds like a lawnmower on crack. That's guaranteed. That's what I assume he drives. But theoretically, you know, that's what I think. But I bet you in real life he's got, like, an 86 Pontiac. It's all rusted out, probably burnt orange or brown, white top all faded.
It's got those gold spoke rims. The gold spoke rims.
It's probably got six.
The tires stick a little bit farther out the side than the fender will.
Oh man, yeah, great show, dude. Great show, man. JT was great to bullshit with. Mike was really cool. We're gonna definitely have to have him on again.
Yeah, no, that was a fun time, you know. It was unfortunate Eric Prindle couldn't join us tonight, but Mike Hayes and JT Tilly definitely stepped up, and I have a feeling that JT and I will be debating again here in a couple weeks when his guys come back on, because it was kind of fun.
Yeah, definitely.
But
man,
I think ultimately he knows I'm right. Ultimately, JT Tilly knows I'm right. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to having him, his whole crew on with fighters. You know, we'll be doing all fighters on that show. That's gonna
be
fun.
Oh, he has a crew? I didn't know he had a crew.
Stable.
Oh, he's got a stable. Yeah, that makes more sense, dude. He's in Missouri, dude. He should have a stable.
A stable of fighters. Dude, I can so see, like, he needs to have, like, a promo, like, all these fighters in an old, like, horse stall with, the metal on top of the wood. It's like, show fights 29, and just kick it. One guy just kicks it, and it just shatters, like, splinters everywhere. And then, like, two girls jump over the shoulders, kung fu style. Bam, bam, show fights 29, kicking in the barn door. Yeah.
What the fuck
what
are
do.
You talking about? Jesus.
Show fights.
Cranny.
I'm gonna make a promo. I'm gonna hire some people. I'm gonna make them a promo. It's gonna be like a bunch of guys kicking out a barn. Battle at the barn. And we can have all the fighters come out dressed up like cowboys. They come out there, yeah, get like sponsors on their chaps. I got this all worked out.
Interesting.
Yeah,
you would be thinking about some of these chaps.
Now you understand why I'm not a professional promoter. My ideas probably wouldn't work so well.
No,
but
they wouldn't.
It does sound like we could pull off the taser fight. That would be the fun stuff. Okay, so let's see, folks out there.
Dude, yeah,
don't
if he lets us
tomorrow.
Do the taser fight, you're fucked, man.
Dude, I don't know what you're thinking. You're all muscular, dude. You know how quick those volts are going to get to you? I got like 8 inches of fat all the way around me. You're going to have to really hold it on. Have you ever electrocuted a pig? Well,
yeah, bro. Have you ever been
electrocuted?
I've been electrocuted.
Dude, yeah. Yeah, dude, those prison walls have that electric fencing, bro.
that's not the same as 220, dude, right through your ass.
Dude.
You're not even concerned with the electricity. You're more worried about the AR-15s raining down. Where did Jeff go? Did you put him on mute again?
Jeff hung up.
What the? Oh, he must be a Gracie Baja. So Seth Petruzzelli got knocked out. Way to make me look like like I know what I'm talking about. Bozo.
Yeah. Dude, I guess I just got a message that Eric Brindle has been waiting on us to call him, but we tried.
From who?
From Trey, down at Tapper Snap.
Oh. Well, yeah, we called him 2 hours ago, bro.
Yeah,
well,
we'll just rebook a show.
Try. Dude, are you ready to record?
No, I'm not ready, dude.
Come on, bro. We don't even want it to ring. It won't even ring. You can record that and then hang up, and then we'll have it.
I know, but
come on, man.
Dude, I'm not
people
gonna,
want
dude,
you
I got to hang up.
Record on your phone, homie. Don't you have a voice recorder?
No, I got a fucking cell phone that's... I guess still got a flip phone.
Oh, bozo. No, you don't. What are you talking about? Nice try there, Jabroni Drive.
Dude, let me see if I can do this without hanging up. Let's see, menu.
Dude, yeah, you can record voice notes, bro.
Yeah, you have a fancy, like, government phone. I have...
No, that's all they give me. See, that's,
you know,
like, if
funny,
I get booted
dude.
Off Facebook, I know it's the trouble.
Dude, I couldn't believe that they kicked me off earlier and sent me an email that I was registered as a business, and I was like, huh?
You're like, how am I a business?
Yeah. Unless someone
what did they say?
Sees a crime...
What did they say when you said, I'm not in a business?
I sent back an email. I said, sorry, this is a personal account, not a business account. And then I went and kept trying to log in, and finally let me log in.
Oh, really?
But I was literally sitting there typing, and all of a sudden it came up. It says, you've been disconnected from Facebook. And I was like, what?
That's awesome.
I'm still looking at all of Julie's titles. I keep looking at it over and over, dude. I'm
yeah, you
so
would.
Sick.
You remind me of that guy Fritzy on the Dan Patrick show. You just sit there the whole time on the radio looking at like pictures of chicks. I mean, god dang, man. You're like, dude, quit. You're acting like that Eric Holden guy. Oh, look at these pictures of her with her belts. Ooh,
Oh my god, dude. Dude, I'm gonna tell you right now. Ever call me Eric Holden again, I will bitch slap you into Tuesday. Dude, look, there's a line we don't cross. We're supposed to be friends here, okay? Say what you want about my mama, but do not call me Eric Holden. That is just going too far, young man.
I think I also took it too far because I called Chris Gregory Eric Holden the other day, so that was really like, that's like the double dastardly deed I did to you. You know, I apologize.
Hey, I'd like to give a big shout out to the man himself, Fish, in the studio tonight. changing it up for us, folks. Big love to him.
Game changer.
Game changer.
Game changer.
So we got like
12
minutes left, man.
I know, dude. I'm trying to get you to talk about some fights that you're wanting to watch this weekend, but you're like, whoa.
Dude, team
like,
tournament.
And I was right. I knew that Road was in fucking Korea. I don't know what the hell I was thinking. I was like, no, Road's not in Korea. Sometimes I outthink myself.
Dude, I'm going to watch the Jeff Munson fights tomorrow. I'm going to catch the tournament. I'm going to catch the Battle of Moscow 12 tomorrow morning, folks, man. Noon East Coast.
Is there a stream for the Ukraine Ugandan Giant Throwdown or whatever?
Yeah. There's a stream for all those, bro. Two tomorrow, which is great because Battle of Moscow starts 3 hours earlier than the Munson card. So I'll be able to catch almost that whole card probably, if not the whole card, before Munson starts. I'll just flip over to Munson's card, check that out, and boom. And I can be done with all that by 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Bam!
Oh, really?
Yes. So, you know what that means. Tomorrow, Clock Tower Pub, we will have these fights streaming on at least one big screen right outside the kitchen so I can see it while I cook. That's how we do it. You got me one of those ones where I can just plug my BlackBerry in. And then HD right there, baby.
Nice.
Yeah. It's a 42-incher, man. The picture comes in real clean. I can't complain, dude. It's got that, you know, little quick connect for the HDMI. I think that's the only that's the cool thing about that BlackBerry, bro, is that instant HDMI into any TV that's accepted. Boom. But do you know what?
You're like one of four people with a BlackBerry playbook, bro. You're one of four people on the whole fucking planet Earth that has a BlackBerry playbook.
All you regular people have, you know, Samsungs and iPhones and Motorolas. The four select gods of this Earth. Earth, wind, fire, and rock.
Okay, Captain Planet. What's next, dude?
Have you seen that Don Chia one? Don Chia's Captain Planet where he starts killing everyone?
No, dude, but that might probably be pretty funny.
Oh, dude. Oh, my God. He starts shooting lasers out of his crotch. He starts turning people into trees. Even a baby, dude, in a stroller. It's hilarious, dude. He's like, hey, I'm going to send it to you, bro. I won't even try to do it. It's so hilarious. But,
no, do it. I'll
yeah.
Do it.
Okay. I'll do it. Here, I'll do it real quick.
People
dude,
like this
shit,
bro.
Hilarious. Dude, this shit is hilarious, man.
Have you talked to Micah Railgun Reed?
No.
It's a pretty interesting
not lately.
Post he's got.
I just shared it.
Huh.
Here we go. Hold on, I gotta adjust your settings so I don't get feedback. Hold on 1 second. Okay. Pull you over here. There we go.
We have to do something. Get our powers combined.
Don Cheadle.
Stop right now.
Oh, my pain.
Everything's a treat.
I'll get better.
Stop. Holy God, that's enough. I can't let you do this
stuff. He's like, you're a dead tree. You bozo.
Come on back up. Don't summon me again unless you're ready for that pain. Peace. Big hole.
Dude, Captain Planet was the dog's bollocks, bro.
Remember, turn off the faucet between usages and recycle those plastics, or else I'll turn you into a fucking tree. Captain Planet, motherfucker.
Dude, bro, Don Cheadle is Captain Planet. Just Google it, YouTube it. You gotta check that shit out, man. That is some funny stuff. He starts going crazy, just killing everybody. I love it.
No, you just turn them into trees, bro.
That's killing them.
That's killing them, he says. I guess if you want to be technical about it.
Yeah,
you want to be
for
technical
everybody
about
who just...
It.
Seriously, just go
I was
to,
wondering what the fuck was going on.
They just go Don Chia, Captain Planet, man. There's like six of them. He just goes around doing this shit, gets all crazy. I love it. Oh, okay. Yeah, we were talking about fights, but I don't even remember which ones.
Yeah, then we got on the Captain
oh, yeah.
Planet because you started talking about Earth, Wind, and Fire. I should have made a. I wish I would have made the band reference because then, you know, maybe the people would have related better to Earth, Wind, and Fire
well,
as a band.
Let's see. Oh, yeah, man, this. There's some great fights on that card. Tapology, go pick it, folks.
Dude, I was doing good until I... Huh?
What about
Heat? Yeah, dude, Heat's the joint, bro. And that's Heat Korea versus Heat Japan. That's going to be a sick little card, man.
Oh, yeah.
XPC or XFC... hold on. PXC? No, what the fuck? See, I started getting too many events. I know there's a Vale Tudo Japan card this weekend. There's Shudo Brazil this weekend. Road FC, Heat. Dude, the list is a mile long, bro. Fight Nights. I mean, come on. RFA 8, Warpath MMA. Oh, yeah. My guy Morgan, Little Child. Morgan, the Mad Dog, Little Child. Versus Manveer Burke. If you are in British Columbia... You need to be at this fight at Warpath MMA 10. I'm going to give you guys information where you can get there. Four Directions Martial Arts is the promoter ownership. It's at the Skiala Community Hall in Chilliwack. Dude, I'm telling you, dude, it is my destiny to go to fights in Chilliwack. You know, I have to. Carl, you need to make this happen. I need to attend some fights in Chilliwack. I just got to know what the hell is going on here and how this town got its name. But, yeah, Warpath MMA 10, fights start at 8 Pacific. 9 fights in a ring. Kind of the neat thing about Canadian MMA is a lot of it happens in a ring. But you got Colton Higginbottom, Liam Stevenson. That'll be a good fight. Matt Blair, Martin Klawatsky. But the main thing, folks, the main thing is the all-amateur card, but the main thing, bantamweight title fight, Morgan Littlechild, Manveer Burke, be there at the Skiala Community Hall in Chilliwack. Tickets are available at, I don't see anything that it says. Doors open at 5:30, fights start at 8. $35 and $75 for tickets. www.warpathmma.com. 604-316-8012. That's where, if you're in Chilliwack or anywhere in British Columbia, that's where you need to be at. CFFC, that means Skippy or I will be watching that event unless one of these other peons decides to do something this weekend.
Jeff.
Oh, yeah. Madhouse's own. Charlie the Madman Gathers and Brendan Saylor are fighting at World Cage Fighting Championships in Greensburg, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, so that's at least two guys we have fighting this weekend, because Bruce will be up at Pain in the Neck for Extreme Combat Promotions. But I'm gonna get to the sponsor call real quick so we can pay these bills. Hold on a second.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah, get
big
to the
shout out to
call.
All our sponsors, including Jax Media, folks. Check them out.
MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors: Draco Impact Armor, Clench Custom Mouthguards, Cast Iron Supplements, Brawl Base, Pro-Am Belts, Game Changer Clothing, Never Tap, Hype Fight Store, Intimidation Clothing, Ink Tank Tattoo, 24 in LV, Crossroader Clothing, Central Oregon Trike, Triumph Fitness, Vision Smoke Shop, Tank Crimes, Big T's Nightclub, and ACS Live TV.
Big shout out to all those great people. And, you know, it's so funny because that guy does all the ring announcing for Battlefield Fight League, but he almost sounds like a pre-recorded, you know, voice you would have on a computer, you know?
Dude, that sounded like Walter Cronkite.
Dude,
I should have him do my voicemail. No, man. You should have called Eric Prindle and recorded that shit.
Well,
and made
you
that your voicemail, bro.
Back in the day when I first, you know, cell phones first came out and he had voicemail, I used to, like, record crazy voice, like, commercials to make him, like, you know, like, sponsor calls. Like, one of my favorites, though, is Delta Bonics. It is one of the funniest things you've ever heard. Oh, man.
Dude, I used to, like, have a conversation with the person. Like, if you wait, like, 2 seconds, like, hit record, like, wait a couple seconds, or just lead in with, hello? And then, like, wait, like, 3 seconds, and people normally say, then you say something back to them, and then they don't realize what the hell you want to tell them.
I fell for that way too many times. I hated that shit. Especially when I was all, like, messed up, like, drunk or something. I'd be like, hey, what's up? And then, what are you doing? Where's the bar? You know, and then I realize I'm talking to an answer machine. Oh, I get mad. Jesus, asshole. I'll blame you.
Hey, I don't mind, dude.
Dude, let's wrap this up, man. We're going to play a song on the way out the door, dude. I want to tell everybody thank you to all our guests. Don't forget, Friday night, Rogue Show. We'll be talking Shiznik late night. Sunday night, you can catch Lepaki on the Sunday night breakdown on Clinch Radio. And then Full Guard Fight Radio has moved to Saturday night, folks. Catch them. Other than that, peace and chicken.
Hey, did you see my guy Shorty training today?
Yes, I did.
I'm telling you, man, if that guy would train religiously, this guy would have been the limit.
Yep. Eagle.
Quit racing cars, man. I want to watch you fight. We can race cars when you're 40.
Yep. Okay. Eagle, bro.
Osprey, honky.
Who's gonna teach you how to dance? Who's gonna show you how to fly? Who's gonna call you on the lame dope, smoking, slacking little sucker you are?